Appreciate so much having an associate pastor, and he'll be preaching all next Sunday for us here at Good Samaritan, and so you come preach for us tonight. Lord bless you, Brother Moore. We need to start some ancillary entertainment.
So y'all don't go to sleep?
I'm comfortable.
Are you an optimist or are you a pessimist?
Is Jesus Lord or is he Lord?
Really, are you a pessimist or an optimist?
I'll go with Christ
is my Savior. That's what we're supposed to be. As Christians, born-again Christians, we're supposed to be optimists.
Amen.
We're supposed to have faith. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And the Bible says that when we go through trials and tribulation, that he hasn't left us, that he's with us.
Amen.
So, but when we go through trials and tribulation, we don't act that way.
Right.
Sometimes. You remember the cartoon where the guy's going, "We're doomed. We'll never make it."
Amen.
Do you know people like that in your life?
Eeyore.
I don't know. "We're doomed. We'll never make it." They always make it. And they always keep that guy around.
Yeah.
I've been around people that are totally pessimistic all the time. And no matter what happens, they're pessimistic. They just... nothing's going to turn out right. Even when it does turn out right, they find fault in it or find something wrong. Or go, "Well, it just happened that way today, but tomorrow will be different and we're doomed." You know, we live in a day and time when there's 24/7 news. I mean, you watch news all the time. I'm addicted to Fox News. Somebody tells me I'm addicted to Fox News. I get around people, and the lady over there at the horse farm says my husband's addicted to Fox News. The TV went out, and oh my goodness, it just went crazy. And we had every TV people out here and trying to get the TV going on, and finally we got it on, and we watched Fox News continuously for 2 days. But we live in a day where it's 24/7 news. If you watch Fox or whatever news channel you watch. And there's really not a lot of good news on them. This Kavanaugh thing, 20 years ago, would never happen. Would never have happened. And Feinstein says she wasn't the one that leaked it. Remember the last time she leaked something? She said she was on cold medicine. Man, if that's all that gets you to lose your mind and go somewhere, you probably need to go somewhere. But we're lucky to have the Bible.
Amen.
We know how it's going to turn out in the end. And you read about the saints of old in the Old Testament. They didn't have the Bible. Job didn't have a Bible. And I want to tell you something. Job turned out like he was pure gold when at the end. God blessed him double. Did he do right all the time? No, but he griped and complained, but he did gripe and complain to God. The Bible says he sinned not with his mouth. Boy, we sin with our mouths. We sin with our mouths. If you would, please go to 2 Kings chapter 7. We're going to talk about a thing that happened in the Old Testament that was terrible. And a man of God came along and said, "Hey, don't worry about it. It's going to get better tomorrow." Second Kings chapter 7. In fact, we're going to start in 2 Kings 6. Or maybe I'll just give you an outline of chapter 6. Syria is going to come up against Israel in chapter 6. And Elisha the prophet sends the king of Israel word that, "Hey, the king of Syria is going to come and look at you at this place. Don't go near there." And then the king of Syria goes, "Why does the king of Israel know exactly where I'm at all the time? Which one of you is a spy?" And they say, "Nobody, but the prophet, the Dothan." The prophet Elisha tells the king, of Israel where we're going to be. So the king goes after Elisha, and he sends all of his horsemen there, and the servant of Elisha is scared to death because they're surrounded. And Elisha comes out and he says, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant." And the eyes of the servant is open, and he sees all these chariots of fire that have surrounded the other chariots. They're surrounding them, meaning that Elisha saw that God was going to take care of him. You know what? As Christians, we ought to know that God's going to take care of us.
Amen.
But we don't act like that. I want to tell you that there's more pessimistic Christians than there are optimistic Christians. Then, after Elisha says, "Blind these people's eyes," and he leads them to Samaria, and he has the king feed them, and then send them on their way. Then, later on, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathers his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there's a famine in Samaria. This is 2 Kings 6, verse 25. "And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?' And she answered, 'This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day.'" He blames the prophet. How many of the kings of the Old Testament blamed the prophet because they brought bad news? There was some bad news told to some people, and the guy's name was Paul. And he said, "Why do you call me? Why do you treat me as an enemy when you used to treat me as a friend? I'm just telling you the truth. Why are you getting angry at me?" Wasn't it Nathan that came up to King David and said, "Hey, I got a story to tell you." And David was mad at that person in that story. And then he found out it was him. You see, we all have things in our life that's not right. But we get mad at somebody else for pointing them out to us. The king is so saddened by the news that his people are eating their children. And it's so bad that he goes in sackcloth and ashes. You see, he's the king. He's not supposed to be in sackcloth and ashes. He is really tore up about this. Chapter 7 says, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria.'" That's like going into depression saying, "Don't worry about it. Stock market's going to go up tomorrow." You know, those people in depression didn't care about the stock market. Those people in the depression only cared about what was going to be on the table the next day and how they was going to get it. That's what these people are wanting. They're just wanting food. And verse 2 says, "Then a Lord whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be.'" Do you know what Malachi 3 verse 10 says? It says, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says there's windows in heaven. And the man of God said, that the tomorrow you're going to buy lots of food. In verse 2, it says, finishing verse 2, it says, "And behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." You know why he wasn't going to eat thereof? Because he didn't believe. He tried to tell everybody else that this was not going to happen. Right after the man of God says, hey, he was trying to encourage the king. The king was distraught. His people, his kingdom was in toil. And he said, hey, it's going to be all right tomorrow. Weeping may endure for a night, but there's joy cometh in the morning. In John chapter 20, Thomas says, I ain't going to believe unless I reach my finger in his hand and put my fist to his side. And in verse 29, after he sees him, Jesus says, come over and put your finger in my hand, put your fist through my side. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. It says, blessed are they that believe. A lot of talk about salvation this weekend. I have people in my family that will tell you they got saved because they said a prayer when they was a kid. And can I tell you something? I said a prayer. I had just turned 22 years old and I said a prayer. There was tears in it. But if I'd have died a day before April the 9th, 2006, I'd have died and went to hell. Now, my family, I have family in the Church of Christ. They're big in the Church of Christ. And I didn't get baptized till 2 years after I got saved. And my aunt, I went to my auntie's Church of Christ. I was getting baptized in a Baptist church. And I said, I want y'all to come. I know it's Baptist and I know you're Church of Christ, but I want y'all to come. She said, Tracy, that's great that you are getting baptized, but what if you'd have died before you got baptized? And I said, I went to heaven. And they came to church. And that day, the preacher preached on baptism and what it really meant. Amen. That it was just obedience. And getting, see, they took one verse out of Acts and built a whole religion around that you have to be baptized. If you come to get saved at a Church of Christ, you get baptized that day. That way, if something happens to you tonight, you get to go to heaven. Where am I? See, this whole thing of Christianity is built on faith. It's not built on works. Right. It's what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen. And it's faith and trust in Him. Amen. And if we could believe that Jesus saved our souls from hell, why can't we believe that He could get us out of this mess that we're in, if we're in a mess? Right. You see, we believe that He can. We say that we believe we can. But we're like that guy that says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, which means, Lord, if that's what I got to do, I believe, but I don't know what you're talking about. He might not have seen anybody take demons out of somebody, but he wanted the demons out of his son. There was four guys that had a lot of faith. They had this guy, that friend of theirs, was sick of palsy. So they carried him to Jesus. And when they got to the place, they couldn't get in because of all the people. So they went up on the roof and they tore the roof off and they put him down. And Jesus saw their faith and healed the guy and says, thy sins are forgiven. Take up thy bed, you're whole. Now then, back to the story. And there were four lepers, in verse 3, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. There's four lepers and they're going to die. And they said, we can sit here and die, or we can get up and do something. We have a chance to live if we get up and do something, or we have a chance to die. But I ain't going to sit here and just fade away. Now, I'm talking to a 90-year-old woman today, and she's telling me the things that she still does. She's volunteered her whole life. She's done things for other people her whole life. And now she's getting to an age where she could have got her car wouldn't pass inspection because of rust, so she just got rid of it. And she didn't get another car. She said, Tracy, I could have bought another car, but I'm getting up there where my foot don't work all the time, and I just didn't want to chance it. You know, she's thinking of others. And she goes, I've got a scooter now, and I could go anywhere I want to on this scooter. She says, my leg's bothering me. I still get up and walk. I just can't walk far. And she gets up, and she gets the papers, and she delivers papers throughout the Romeo Village and stuff. And she's always doing something. Every time I went to her house, it's immaculate. She only has one eye. And so she has to put everything in its place because her left side's blind. And she said, I've got up and people put stuff in my way that wasn't there and I got up and tripped over it. And at my age, I can't do that. And so I have to have everything in its place so I don't trip over things. She said, I could get up here at night. It'd be pitch dark and I could walk around this house. I know where everything is. What I'm trying to get to y'all is she's done stuff her whole life. And she's still doing stuff, although it's not as much. And every year it gets a little less, but she still does stuff. These four lepers could have died right there where they was at. But they knew if they went in the city, they wouldn't get any help because they was lepers. They weren't allowed to get in the city. But they said, hey, out there, we could go out there and maybe live. If not, they're going to kill us and we won't suffer. So they went up and did something. In verse 5 it says, and they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost parts of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. You know what? The battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And if we give it to the Lord, He'll take care of it.
Amen.
We don't give it to Him. We ask Him to fix it, but then we try to fix it ourselves. And God ain't going to do anything that our hands on. He's going to do something when we take our hands off of it. One of the favorite songs that I had over at the village was "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." In verse 8, and when the lepers came to their most part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence gold, silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again, entered in another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Man, they was making out like a bandit. They're fixing to die and all of a sudden they're rich. They have everything that they want. But look what happened in verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. You know what? How many believe that we're in the last days? We don't act like it. If we really believe that Jesus is fixing to come, and I'm preaching to me, if we really believe that Jesus is fixing to come, why ain't we telling everybody that He's fixing to come? Why ain't we telling everybody that He came? You see, we're in the last days and everybody could see it. You don't need to have a news channel tell you that. That you could see it. We're in the last days. But we don't act like it. these guys found out that, hey, we have life here. We can save the kingdom. We're over here trying to hoard it for ourselves. And that's what's wrong with this world today. See, the church inverted. The church was never supposed to invert. The church was always supposed to go and spread the news. You see, we have good news. Even in this sick, dark world, we have good news. That, you know what? I don't know where somewhere in New York today, somewhere in this country today, a drug addict got saved. He was in torment. He was in all kinds of misery. But today he got saved and he's free. Somewhere in this country today, there was somebody who got saved that was poor, destitute, and down on their luck. And he's the richest person in the world today because he got saved. He has Jesus now.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that he's got more money than you can shake a stick at. It means that he's got a mansion in heaven. He's got a place where he can walk on streets of gold one day. You see, he became rich. The thief on the cross went to paradise. He didn't get baptized. But Jesus took him to paradise with him that day. You see, we have good news, but we're letting the kingdom die. We're hoarding it for ourselves. We're not like these four lepers that say, hey, you know what? There's something that we have to do. All this didn't happen to us for just us. We got to go save the kingdom. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. You know, he didn't listen to the man of God, did he? He didn't understand what the man of God was speaking for God. And God said, it's all right. Tomorrow you'll have plenty of food. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took, therefore, two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them into Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he had leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. You know, there's so many Christians that are dying, not because they're bad people. There's so many people that are Christians that are just wasting away and dying because they really don't believe. They're pessimists. Nothing's going to happen. God ain't going to do this. God won't do this for me. We'll never make it. We're doomed. And yet God, time after time, blesses other people. Time after time, they see people getting blessed, but they never believe it for themselves. Just like the Israelites that was brought out of Egypt. And they sent 12 spies in the land. And they came back, 10 of them said, we can never do it. We're doomed. And two of them said, let's go. Their grapes are huge. And you know what? Only two of them went back into the promised land. You see, I believe there's so many pessimistic Christians that won't believe that God will do anything for them, that they're just going to wither and die. They'll never see any blessings of God on their life because they don't believe. You know what's sad? All of us don't believe that we're in the last days. Because if we all believed we was in the last days, that we would be spreading the gospel to every creature. Remember Brother Mills when he said, every creature, remember when he preached that? He said that Paul went out and preached the gospel to every creature. Every person that Paul met, he talked about Jesus. Can I tell you something? Paul died. Paul got his head chopped off. But when we get to heaven, we'll want what Paul had. When we get to heaven, we'll understand that Paul had it right, and we don't. I'm not saying that we're supposed to all go out and quit our jobs and do nothing but preach the gospel and just live off whatever anybody gives us. What I'm saying is we ought to be mindful that we are in the last days. That, like these four lepers, we have found something that we cannot keep to ourselves. If we keep it to ourselves, something's going to befall us. You see, one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to say, "Why didn't you do this?" And every excuse that we come up with, and we're not going to say nothing. Because there is no excuse. The people that we should have handed out a tract to, the people that we should have talked about Jesus to, the people that we should have shared our testimony to, the people that we should have just been an encouragement to. You know, you go out to be a blessing to somebody, and God sees that, and He blesses you. See, you bless that other person, which blesses God, which blesses you. I don't live too far from Helen. I go down to Watkins 5 days a week. I don't go out there. She gets up early and she goes to bed early. So if it's dark, I'm not even thinking about going to her house. But some of the joy that I had working at the village was every Sunday morning I got to go pick her up. And me and her would talk. I would drop my guys off at the church. I would go get her by myself so me and her could talk. And then after church, I would take her home by herself so me and her could talk. You see, 90-year-old people don't have a lot of people to talk to. Although she has a huge family. I don't know what it is about the Moores, but man, we have huge families. Well, not the Moores. On my side, it's the Greens. On her side, it was the Moores. But a huge family. But family can't come around all the time. So I got blessed today because I decided to go to be a blessing to somebody else. And that blessed God. In Malachi, it talks about every time we talk about Jesus, every time we tell other people about Jesus, that God writes it down in a book. Now, if God writes it down in a book, that probably means it means something. I don't know, but maybe there's somebody else, maybe there's an angel writing down in the book when we don't tell anybody about Jesus. And that's going to mean something too. The Bible doesn't say that. But this I do know. We're in the last days. And we have something dear and precious. And we need to share it. And if we do, we're going to get blessed by that. It doesn't mean that everybody we share it with grabs hold of it and gets saved. What it means is we shared it. Those four lepers, who by the way were outcasts, that nobody had anything to do with, they knew more than we did. You see, they said, we have something that's precious, and we have to share it. We have to save the kingdom. Can I tell you something? We have something precious, and we need to share it to build the kingdom, to grow the kingdom. If we're going to pray for people to come into this church, and we are, and we want people to start coming into this church, it's a blessing to have Brother Fenner here. It is. It's a blessing to have anybody new come in for a while. But they're not going to come in unless we share the gospel. I am in a place that is ripe for the harvest. And I've only told 4 or 5 people, or shared the gospel, or shared my testimony, or handed somebody a tract. 2, 4, 6 people there at that place where I work. We all believe that we're in the last days, but we're not acting like it. What we need to do is do exactly what the lepers did and say, you know what? I have faith. I have faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. I have faith that everything's going to turn out right in the end. And I have faith that if I do what He tells me to do, that He's going to take care of me. Paul would say, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, the Romans have thrown me into jail. The Jews are after me. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul understood some things. That something happened to us and we don't understand it. Faith is a belief. Faith, according to Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now, there's a lot of people that believe there's a God. We was watching a rodeo thing last night, and the Brazilians, I don't know if you know anything about pro bull riding, but the Brazilians have been just doing great. They're Catholic. They all mention God. They all mention their faith. But they're Catholic. There's a lot of people that believe that there is a God, but don't go to church. They say that me and Jesus have our own thing going. You know, like Tom T. Hall. But can I tell you something? You and Jesus don't have anything going until Jesus becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. And once, let me just pull over and say this. Has anybody ever met the President of the United States? I mean, it doesn't matter about this president or any other president. Has anybody ever met the President? Well, can I ask you a question? If you did get to meet the President, no matter what president was, would you remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty important thing if you'd meet the President. I tell you something, Jesus Christ is more important than any president.
Amen.
And when I said a prayer in 1987, I didn't meet nobody. I met the pastor that was leading me in the prayer. But when I got saved, I met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He indwelt me with His Holy Spirit. And I was born again and I was changed. You'll never forget that. You'll never forget it. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what that says? I got to believe that He is, and that He's going to reward me if I diligently seek Him. That's pretty simple. Are you diligently seeking Him? Are you sharing this precious thing that you have? Are you telling other people about the good news? Are you trying to build the kingdom? Or are you like those lepers at first that was getting the spoils that they have found and running and hiding them, and then running back and getting a little bit more, and then going back and hiding them? Because see, throughout this country, that's what Christians are doing every week. They're going to church, they're getting a little blessing, and they're running back to their home and they're hiding it, and they're not sharing it with anybody else. They're not going out and proclaiming that I am a Christian, that I don't do that stuff anymore, that God changed me, and people can see that. They're living their lives just like everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing, and then on Sunday morning they're going and getting a little blessing for themselves and running and hiding it. You see, the church is inverted. And the Bible says that judgment starts at the house of God. You know why? Because we know better, and we have allowed this country to be taken over by liberals, and this country be sold out from underneath our feet. I have been doing what the lepers have been doing, and I've been hiding all my little blessings, and I hadn't been sharing it like I should. What we need to do is go out and spread the gospel to every creature. What we need to do is start trying to be a blessing to somebody else and quit worrying about if we're getting blessed or not. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this story. I thank you, Lord, that the stories of the Old Testament, some of them don't make any sense to me, and some of them just bless me beyond measure. This story blessed me, Lord, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray that we would walk out of here with faith, believing that we serve a God that cannot lie. That if you say that you're going to do something, Lord, you're going to do it. King David said, "I had fainted unless I believed the land of see the goodness of the land. I had fainted unless I seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be of good courage and wait upon the Lord, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." The problem with us is we don't want to wait on you, but Lord, you are so good and so faithful that you wait on us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us, Lord, that we would be like these lepers, that we would go and tell the people about this precious thing that we have found. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Lord, and we need to spread that treasure around. And I pray that we would be obedient, and we would share the gospel to every creature. And I pray, Lord, that you would take care of us, that you'd watch over us, that you keep us safe if we drive home, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, let's stand for an invitation. Think about 277 in our songbook.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust.